all the way before Lana even became pastor back in the late 70s. We've been supporting Teen Challenge ministry to men in a time of great need, addicted to substance abuse. And today we have Mike Zella Jr., who heads up a transitional program over in Fredericksburg, and he's going to minister the word of the Lord to us today. Please rise and welcome Mike Zella.
Yes. Good to be here. Wow. Thank you. I didn't realize I was so wonderful. It's been a while, maybe 18 months since I was here. And in fact, I was sharing with Tim earlier, I think there are about five churches, and I think that they all sort of run neck and neck, that maybe I've preached more here than any other church. Anyways, you all are running together. It used to be back in the day that, you know, we cycle through, and every time I cycled through, we had another baby. But this time, and the last time I was here, I said, well, maybe the next time I'll be here, I'll be a grandpappy. This time, I'm a double grandpappy. Yeah. Got a grandson born in July and another grandson born in August. Back to back. Daughter had a baby. Son's wife had a baby. All healthy, beautiful boys. Praise God. No offense, ladies. But, you know. So maybe next time I come preach here, I'll have another, maybe a granddaughter. You never know. The bottom line is this. We're getting old. Amen. We're getting old. We're all getting old. Teen Challenge is Teen Challenge. Amen. Constant spiritual warfare. Unbelievable. All the time. Just fighting everything. And, you know, many of you know that we fought the government with this farm that we have in Fredericksburg. And it took us a number of years. We finally won. And just have been, it's just been a giant battle all the way through. And we're 90% complete on all of our construction. Sprinkler system, 90%. We're $5,000 short right now to being able to use the farm full, as many, you know, 15, maybe up to 25 beds, depending on how I duke it out with the government some more. But at least 15 beds for now. And we're just $5,000 short. So will you pray with me on that one? And I have like 2 weeks to raise it. It has to come quickly because we have one set, the sprinkler system that's already been approved. And now we're over to the electrical side, and the county has just informed me 3 days ago that we need a backup generator in case, love this one, in case the electric goes out and then there's a fire. So we got to back everything up now with a generator or a backup battery system that's going to cost, everything's about money, amen? It's just, just want to save lives, okay? But, our family is just incredibly blessed in this season. Grateful for just the health and vibrancy of our children, which are growing and doing so well. And this church has been such an integral part of our move to Virginia 9 years ago, and all the Lord has done since then, especially in the lives of our children. So I just want to thank you. Greetings from my beautiful wife and all three of the kids and grandkids. I truly believe without this church, I certainly wouldn't be where I am. And there's no way I'd be doing what I'm doing. And at the end of the day, we need you. You know, the church is sort of like you're a lifeline. I mean, we don't exist without the churches. We need you. We need everything you do for us. We need missions trips. We need prayer. We need money. We just need the backup of the body of Christ, because all that we do is so spiritual, because the men that we love and the women that we love and serve and even the kids that we love and serve are addicted to drugs and alcohol, and they're dying. They're literally dying. And then the Lord raises up a beautiful farm, a horse farm, a refuge, a place to go and get away from all the filth and all the garbage, get connected with God's nature and the beauty of the farm, which is a beautiful place. And at the same time, the power of Jesus Christ, amen, and the power of this Word of God to change a life. Next year, it'll be 30 years that we've been in Teen Challenge. 30 years. I know what you're thinking. Well, he must have started when he was three. But actually, I was two. It's been an incredible journey for us, and we have seen thousands and thousands of people set free from drugs and alcohol. And the messages I preached when I was 18, I still preach because it's the same power. It's the same Jesus. Amen? It's the same God. Yeah. I'm gonna go back and forth with this one because the guys are going to talk. So you may have to help me because all these things are demon-possessed anyway, but we'll fight it. We'll fight it, try to get it to work. All right. But thank you. Which sort of brings me to my point, which Matt and Kimball, come on up here, buddy. Come on up here, guys. I have a couple guys that are going to share this morning. Amen. You say, so people ask me all the time, what is Teen Challenge? And I always say all the time, it's just people. People like me and you that for whatever reason got off on the wrong track. And now we're fighting to get them back on track, back into life. And, wow, these guys are, they're definitely not veterans, that's for sure. They're definite rookies. This is only second time for both of them. And last Sunday was the first time, and they were scared to death. And so I'm sure the same fear is there today. But, Kimball, I'm going to turn you loose, man. All right, you ready? All right, Kimball, bless you, brother.
My name's Kimball. I'm from Gloucester, Virginia, and I'm 26, and married with two kids. And
how old are your kids?
3 and 2.5 months. And my life, I grew up in the church, and my whole family's they've been in the church for as long as I've been alive. And just like most kids out there, when I was 15, I started to stray and started to experiment, got in with the wrong crowd. And it just led up to dabbling with something a little stronger. And then it just progressed, and before I knew it, I was a full-blown addict. And a couple months before I came to Teen Challenge, I overdosed and actually died for about 20 seconds, and they were able to revive me. And as soon as I got out of the hospital, knucklehead I am, went straight back. And 2 weeks to the day, I was hit by a car. And no broken bones. It was a miracle. Just everybody at the hospital couldn't believe it. I didn't have any broken bones. I just had some road rash and a concussion, and that really opened my eyes. It was a crazy month, and now it's just, I can't express how great it feels to finally be free from this. It's been 11 years in the making, and it's unbelievable how wonderful it feels to be free, finally free. God is really working. He's really doing a number on me. And I'm getting there. I'm not all the way there, but I'm getting there slowly but surely. And just, if you would, just keep my family in prayer, because that's the hardest thing right now, is being away from them.
We're going to pray for them right now. Can we do that? To save this man is to save his children. These will be kids without a dad if he dies, and he should be dead. But the Lord kept him because he has a plan and a purpose to this man's life. And he has a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. And they need him. And they need him. They need him. So, Father, we just thank you for Kimball, Lord. And I do thank you that 3 months ago on the road, he did not die. And that 3 months ago when he was in the hospital overdosing, he didn't die. That you kept him for this season. You plucked him out, Lord, and you saved his life. And we lay hands on our brother and pray over him in Jesus' name. We pray for his wife and for his two children right now. Pray blessing wherever they are and whatever they're doing. Let those kids know deep in their heart that their dad's getting right. He's getting better. He's getting healed. Blessings over his wife today, Lord, and meet all of her needs as her husband's in Teen Challenge, getting his life together. Lord, we just pray for Kimball. that you will set him free indeed all the way and permanent, that this body will never do drugs again, that he will serve you all the days of his life, that he will be the father and the husband and the man of God that you've always called him to be. Let this be a season in Teen Challenge of deliverance. Let him turn, Lord, and never go back. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Love you. Okay, Matt.
You want me to ask you questions? You're going to be all right.
I think. My name's Matt. Thank you. I'm from Chester, Virginia. I was one of those ones that Pastor Mike was talking about, literally dead. Not so much physically, but spiritually. But by the grace of God and through Teen Challenge Ministries, I've had a place to come to just reevaluate where I am in life and just rededicate myself and my heart and my life back to God. And I thank you, Pastor Mike, and this church is a big supporter. He was telling us on the way here, and I thank all of y'all. And thank you mostly for your prayers.
We're going to pray for you right
keep
now.
Them coming.
We're going to do that, right? Let's do that. Father, we just thank you for Matt. And Lord, through all his wanderings, no question about it, he should definitely be dead. But you kept him, Lord. You kept him, you kept him, you kept him. You have a plan and a purpose for his life. And I pray that all of the chains will be broken loose in this season of his life, that he will know what it is to be free, to serve you all the days of his life. We pray for our brother that he will never do drugs again, that the saving God will also keep him from falling, and strengthen him in this season, Lord, while he's in this awesome program. Continue to speak to his life and bless his family in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Blessings, blessings. You guys can sit down. Love you. Love you, love you, love you. Can never get tired of that, amen. That's the icing on the cake for me. All right, here we go with the demon-possessed lapels. Let's see if we can get this thing to work. Is it the top button?
Yeah, the top button. Yeah.
Yeah, you can. Wow, it worked. All right, so what do I do with this? Just kill it. All right. So you can hear me?
Yeah.
Hold the button for 2 seconds. 2 seconds?
Live here. Yeah, I can hear myself. Lord help me, I can hear myself. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of Acts in chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, I want to talk to you today about vision. And while you're turning, it dawned on me that you probably haven't heard my Italian joke in at least 18 months, right? All right, so every time I come to Maryland and hit the Amish country, it reminds me of this Italian joke, and I'm Italian anyway, just in case you didn't figure it out. There was a guy traveling down the road, old time, old style, horse and buggy style, and got himself in the middle of nowhere. And in the middle of nowhere, his horse just boom, dropped over dead. And realized, you know, he was had a dilemma. He was in the middle of nowhere. But there was a farm close by, and there were some horses, and he had money. So he went up to the farmhouse and knocked on the door. And this little Italian guy opened the door and said, "What can I do for you?" The guy said, "Look, I was just traveling down the road, and my horse died. And I see you got some nice horses. You got a nice horse over there. I'll give you $500 for your horse." Little Italian man said, No, you don't understand. I cannot sell you this horse. You see this horse? He ain't looking so good." The guy said, "Look, he looks better than my horse. He's breathing and he's moving. I'll give you $750 for the horse, man. I'm desperate. I need a horse, please." No, you don't understand. I cannot sell you this horse. You see this horse? He no looking so good." The guy says, "Look, I got $1,000. He looks great to me. Please, I need a horse." So finally, little Tammy said, "Okay, but I tell you, this horse, he no looking so good." So he gave him $1,000, bought the horse, went on his way. happy as a lark. Next morning, knock at the door, little Italian man opened the door, it was the man he sold the horse to. He's furious. Grabbed him and he shook him. He said, "You little Italian, you sold me a blind horse." Little Italian said, "Hey, I tried to tell you this horse, you know, looking so good." You like that? So look, one day I was preaching this church and I told that joke. Huge church, like 5,000 people, huge church. And, you know, sometimes when you're preaching, one person will catch your eye. And that's very rare. You know, you're just sort of looking out. And but there was a woman like in the second row on the edge. She just looked at me like I was this silly little man and just didn't get it. Didn't get it at all. And halfway through my sermon, she busts out laughing from the whole church. And she hadn't heard anything I'd said from the time I told that joke. She's sitting there trying to figure out the punchline. And it finally hit her, you know what I mean? So, anyways, I want to talk to you about vision. And I guess my joke has something to do with vision, right? Acts chapter 16, and we will start at verse 9. I'm going to read from the NIV. "During the night, Paul had a vision of a man, Macedonia, standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." Father, we just thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, how badly in this season do we need your word? We thank you for the truth that's in it, Lord, and I pray that it will permeate us today. Please do not let anybody leave this church the way that they came in. I pray for those in this house that are spiritually blind, that you will open their eyes, that they might see Jesus. I pray for those in this church that love you, called, committed to you, but lack vision. Encourage and speak to your body today, Lord, that we will see the world the way you see it, as dying and lost. I pray that vision will be birthed in this house today, that eyes will be open, that people will begin to have their hearts pricked and touched, Lord, by you, by your beckoning and your calling. Help us to see the lost today, the way that you see the lost. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. In Proverbs chapter 29, in verse 18, there is a famous verse that says, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." I'm sure many of you have heard that. I've heard it my whole life. But I fear, having traveled for so many years and preached in so many churches, if the Lord tarries, let's say the Lord doesn't come back. Let's say the world doesn't end. We don't blow it up. And the Lord doesn't come back. And it's 200 years from now and we're all gone. I wonder what church historians will write about the church in America during my lifetime. And it saddens my heart to think about, because when I think, this is what I think will be written. I think will be written is that instead of the church influencing the nation and the culture influenced the church. Instead of the church steering our nation the way that God would have it, we allow material things to set us back. Instead of the church having the true vision of God for the world, the church, instead of having just eyes to look out, became inward. And this is my biggest fear. And this is what I've seen in the last 15 years more than any other time in my life, that the church is more inward, that it's all about us. It's all inward, and it's not about them. Them. Where are we at? St. Mary's? We in St. Mary's County? Yeah. This church should be about St. Mary's County, Maryland. Amen? This church should be about Maryland. Then this church should be about the country. And this church should be about the world. This church should never be about this church. If in our spiritual eyes all we see is each other, then we're blind. We're missing the whole deal. And so in Acts chapter 16, wow, you know, Paul changes direction here all because he had eyes to see. During the night, a vision came to him. Because of the vision, because he concluded the vision was from the Lord, he did some things. And it's one thing to see, it's another thing to do. Amen? Brother Mike, we're praying for you, brother. That's great, man. That's great. Appreciate that. But do. Be a doer of the word. When my grandmother spent the last 14 years of her life cooking breakfast, lunch, and dinner at Teen Challenge, like for 40 men every day, until all the way up until her death. And my grandmother, 4'3" or something, she's like this big, lived through the Depression, bad to the bone, full-blooded Italian, used to drink raw eggs, mustache, whole nine yards, man. My brother and I used to call her Grambo when we grew up, because she drank raw eggs. I mean, she was just like that. She was crazy, man. But she would work so hard, so hard. She had this incredible, she dropped out of school in seventh grade and went to work full 60 hours a week. 60 hours a week at 12 years old in a sweater factory, where she worked for 50 years in that same factory. She's had an incredible work ethic. And then when she got in her 70s, she moved to Maryland and spent a lot, just great years with her every day, cooking breakfast. She worked at Teen Challenge. She lived at Teen Challenge. She had a little studio apartment at Teen Challenge. And God just used her in so many ways to speak to my life. And we called her Mama Zello, Grandma Zello. She was like the mama. She was the director of the whole place, man. She tried to spank me in front of the guys once. I was like 22. I was like, Graham, please don't spank me, Graham, in front of the guys. This is not a good thing. She chased me with the wooden spoon, you know. But she had a poster of three ducks. And it was a mama duck and, oh, it was four ducks. It was a mama duck and three little ducks behind her. And there was a caption on the poster, and it was a little duck in the middle, the little guy. And he was screaming out, do something. Lead, follow, or get out of my way. And I always thought, well, why? That was such a weird poster for a grandma to have. But she loved that poster, and she would always say it to the guys. Do something. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. And I think it's just such an awesome message for us right now, for the whole body of Christ in America. I hear the Lord's heart just screaming to the church. Do something. Do something. To you, to me. Do something. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. And, you know, you don't have to be a reverend to do something. You don't have to be a reverend to do something. This vision, you know, these guys are, they're my heroes. You know, you read this stuff and you go, wow. You have a vision of a man standing and begging. You conclude that God called you to preach the gospel to them. And then you pack it up and go. And I'm going to, we can just read on from verse 11. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed. The 15th, on the Sabbath, let's see, is that verse 15 or 13? 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city to the river. We were expected to find a place of prayer. And we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And there was a woman listening named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, from the city of Thyatira, and she was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us into her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So the first thing I want you to see in this is that when you have vision from the Lord, when you don't have vision, people perish. That means when you do have vision, people get saved. And we have a woman here named Lydia. Her entire family gets saved because of this vision. First converts directly involved with this vision. This is about saying yes to the Lord and then getting some results. And then in verse 16, again, we're going to a place of prayer. This time we're met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, and she earned a great deal of money for her owners by foretelling. In verse 17, this girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days, and finally Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. Verse 19, "And when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to face authorities." We have a second convert as a result of the vision and the obedience to the vision. Now we have a girl, a teenage girl, a slave girl who's demon-possessed, who tries to mock these guys. And in the end, you know, Paul, finally, the Bible says, became so troubled that he turned around and just spoke, "In the name of Jesus, be free." And the Bible says, at that moment, there's something about that name, folks. There's something about that name. We're talking about the most powerful name in the universe. Things change when you speak the name of Jesus Christ. Now comes the trial in the vision. Verse 20. "They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and they're throwing our city into an uproar.'" Can you underline that in your Bible? Throwing our city into an uproar. How cool would that be if this church did that? Amen? Amen. "These people are nutcases. They're messing everything up. They got the whole city in an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. They're whack nuts. They're Christians. They're fruity. They talk in tongues. They dance in church. They raise their hands. They're ticks. Tick, tick, ticks. Luna ticks." And the Bible says that the crowd joined in the attack in verse 22. "And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten, and after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he fastened them in the inner cell with their feet in stocks." Wow. So up until this point, we have victory, 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 and now we have, what are we doing here? This vision stinks. We should just stay where we were. If you're not doing anything for the Lord, you're not a threat. If you're doing something from the Lord, you're a threat. If you're a threat, then the enemy's going to attack you. Bottom line. If you're being attacked today, just praise the Lord. Amen. And join the crew. Join the crew with the rest of us soldiers out here. If you're not being attacked, ask yourself why. Because it's probably because you're just like that little duck, you know, not really doing much of anything. But if you're doing something, then the enemy just not going to like it. And he's going to bring in, and in this case, it was all false, but it was real. The accusations were false, but the attack was real. It was a real attack. It wasn't one of these deals, "Oh, we're just going to pray this away from us." No, it didn't work. They arrested him. And they beat him, and they got the Roman beating, which generally after the Roman beating, you just were turned loose because nobody survived it. Well, this was extra special. They got the Roman beating, and then they were also thrown in jail, and then in the inner part of the jail, the worst part, and then fastened up. And I can see myself in this exact spot, write my letter of resignation. "Dear Lord, back there when you gave me that vision, you didn't say anything about getting beat up and thrown in jail. And they didn't teach me this in Bible school, therefore I resign my credentials with the Assemblies of God." Okay. It's all supposed to be glory and victory and blessing and prosperity and goodness and health. It's all supposed to be good. We're supposed to name it, claim it, frame it. What are we doing in here? Didn't work. Didn't work. It's because they were a threat. These guys were thrown in prison and pretty much half beaten to death because they were a threat. And we have a real enemy out there who really hates us. But that's okay. I tell them all the time. I'm like, "I hate you too. I hate you and your mother, jerk." I tell Satan all the time I hate him. We can do that, right? Is that against the rules? I think that's cool, man. I mean, he hates me. Thrown in the jail. Beaten half to death. Man, I just don't know where I'd be in the vision on this one. I really have to be honest with you. I would be struggling with this. Did we hear from the Lord? Is this what we were supposed to really be doing? You know, I get that this woman got saved in her family. I love that the girl got saved. But what are we doing here? But, you know, what a great example of praise and worship. Amen. About the midnight hour, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. In verse 26, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all of the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Now we get an earthquake. Right? Come on. I've been living here my whole life. Okay? My whole life. And in like a week, we get an earthquake, a hurricane, a tornado. I'm like, what? We got an earthquake! I live in Virginia. I mean, we got a real earthquake, the real deal. Scared everything out of me. I thought it was a train coming right up through the ground. And I just never experienced anything like that before, man. That was some serious power. And it was scary. It was real scary. Could you imagine now? You're praying, you're singing hymns, you're half beat up, and all of a sudden the earth starts to shake? And I mean, the foundations of the prison were shaken so violently that everybody's chains came loose. I think there's a lot in here for us, folks. I could preach on this for like 10 hours. There's so much in here about not quitting and not giving up and just pressing and holding on to that vision. No matter how hard it hurts, no matter how long it takes, never let go of what God gave you, ever. No matter how tough it gets, no matter how big the attack, no matter how thick the chains, no matter how big the prison, God can bring an earthquake. When you think there's no hope, when you think there's no way out, when you think this is it, God can bring an earthquake. Now we have another guy, a jailer, who in verse 27 woke up and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword to kill himself. Thought to himself, everybody's escaped, it's over, man, I'm going to get in big trouble. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all here. Verse 29, the jailer called for the lights, rushed in, fell trembling. Look how God reverses this one. You know, maybe this is the original Jailhouse Rock that Elvis sang about. I doubt it, but you never know. This guy comes in, you know, a couple hours before, Paul and Silas are trembling before him. Now he's trembling before them. Sirs, he said, what must I do to be saved? Isn't that the coolest verse in all the Bible in verse 30? You're never going to hear sweeter words than that in your lifetime. What must I do to be saved? Those are some cool words to hear. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all those in his house. That hour of the night, they took the jailer took them, washed their wounds. And immediately he and his entire family were baptized. The jailer brought them to his house and gave them a meal. Honey, cook, we got some new friends. But a few hours ago, they were beating these guys up, and now we're cooking them dinner. We have a woman named Lydia who was wealthy and a dealer in fine cloth. We have a demon-possessed girl, and now we have a suicidal jailer and his whole family. Everybody saved and baptized, all the way because back in verse 9, somebody had a vision. You see how this thing works? Pretty cool, isn't it? Pretty cool. Let's turn to the book of Acts in chapter 26. And the context is court, and Paul's on trial. He's on trial for again, and arrested again. Except this is the trial of his life. Before King Agrippa. And he decides, I guess, not to hire an attorney, but testifies on his own behalf and begins to share the story of his conversion at his trial. And we'll pick it up in Acts chapter 26 and verse 13. We'll read down the next six verses. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. And we all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And I love this. And from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And here it is in verse 19, all wrapped up. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Wow. Wow. I think and I hope and I pray that someday I will stand before Jesus and say those exact words. Lord, I was crazy. Lord, I was a mess. Lord, you know. But the one thing that could never be said of me is that I was disobedient to that vision you gave me. It was hard. It was the hardest thing I ever did. But I did it. And I stuck with it. Folks, the Bible says that the God of this age has blinded the hearts and the minds of unbelievers. Vision is so important. We can't do anything without vision. It's very difficult to live without vision. Very difficult. And yet there are so many people in the church that just come and say, I mean, what is this really? What is this really? Is this a place where we all come because we look the same, we think the same, we act the same, we believe the same? Then it's a glorified moose club. For real, it is. It's a place where we all hang out, where we all, you know, we kind of like faith. It's got to be deeper than that. It's got to be the Lord has brought us together for a purpose. God has a plan for my life. God, give me a vision for my family. Give me your vision for my family. Your vision for my job. Your vision for my school. Give me your vision for St. Mary's County. Give me your vision for this country and this state. But the God of this age is blinded. So many people. Look, in this season, ask God to take all the cataracts out of your eyes. Amen? You're getting old, man. We need glasses to see, right? We're getting old. Ask God to give you some spiritual glasses. If you can't see, ask God to give you a microscope. If your eyes aren't strong enough, your heart isn't strong enough, ask the Lord to give you the tools. Because at the end of the day, we're all the way back to the beginning. If there's no vision, people die. Where there's no vision, people perish. And where there is vision, there's life. People get saved. Amen? People get saved. Come on, stand with me this morning. And would you bow your heads where you are and just take a moment here to, we can turn the sanctuary just into a house of prayer. I believe the Lord is pleased with that. If you want to get on your knees where you are or come to this altar, that's fine. In fact, let's do that. Can we just find a place on our knees, all of us? If you're able, just turn around in your seat where you are. We have some time here. Just bowing your head and closing your eyes. When's the last time you were on your knees in God's house? How long has it been since you've been to the altar? While you're down on your knees today, will you just whisper up this simple prayer to the Lord? Give me vision, Lord. Give me a vision.
plan and a purpose for my life. This church a vision, the pastor a vision. Your pastor has so many visions. He's an amazing man. Amazing. But folks, without vision, this church wouldn't even be here. At some point, somebody had a vision. And that's why all of us are in this room today. Because at some point, somebody had a vision for this church. Everything starts with vision. It's the beginning. Father, I just pray that you will give dreams and visions here and now, right now. Send your Holy Spirit into this room. Spirit of the living God. The same vision that you gave Paul, the man from Macedonia, standing and begging for help. Lord, give us a vision today for the lost. For those that are brokenhearted. Battle plan, Lord, for St. Mary's County. Lord, let this church be a light on a hill that cannot be hid. Let this church be like a magnet that draws people in. And yes, even more than that, a place where we go out and get them. Give your people vision, Lord, strength today. I pray for those that might be even now in their vision, Lord, and just struggling. It's like the midnight hour in the jail, Lord. Send an earthquake. There are people that need an earthquake today, Lord. Send an earthquake. Do what you have to do to shake things up. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful. You are faithful. We pray for this country, Lord, and this community. So many lost, so many, so many. So many that are standing begging, help me, help me. Lord, help us to help them. Give us vision for the man who's waking up today just can't even remember what he did last night, Lord. Lost and broken, Lord. Give us a vision. Lord, how bad do we need you today, Lord? So bad. And we ask that your Spirit will just fall in this house today. Separate amongst us. Just like in the upper room. The wind of the Holy Spirit to blow through this house. Separate on each and every one of us. Baptism of fire, Lord. Lord, we intercede. We stand in the gap today for the lost, the hurting and the broken, Lord. Help us to help them. Would you pray that prayer right now to the Lord? Help me to help them, Lord. Help me to help them. And Lord, I just pray that there will be a spirit in this house, a do something spirit. That you will raise people up, workers, true soldiers in the kingdom that will do something in this season for you, Lord. Something. Open our eyes, Lord, that we would see. Operate on our eyes today, Lord. Give us vision, better vision. So many believers need glasses, Lord. Give us vision today to see the world the way you see it. We ask for your help, Lord. We need your strength. I pray for families, Lord, today that are really just hurting and broken up, Lord. Especially for the families. I pray for an earthquake, a miracle, Lord. A miracle. For those here that are on the fringes, Lord, and just never really been a part of this house, I pray that you will just draw them in today. For this church to be raised up as a regiment, Lord, unified to do battle for your kingdom. That there will be no division, just one vision, one house moving forward, following the man of God. Blessings over this church and everybody in it, Lord, for all that they have done and all that they mean to Teen Challenge and all the other missions around the world. Continue to bless and strengthen Lanny Clark in Jesus' name. Continue to bless and strengthen his wife. Continue to bless and strengthen all the pastoral staff of this church. For every Sunday school teacher, all the way to the nursery, Lord, bless everybody who's doing something. And raise up more people. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we hear it today, and we receive it today, and we say, yes. We say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will obey the vision that you give me, Lord. I will do what you want me to do. I will serve you with all my heart. If it means move, I'll move. If it means lay things down, if it means give, I'll give. I'll do what you need me to do, Lord. I say yes to this today, Lord, that people might be saved. Let this word come alive in us, Lord. This seed that is planted today, let it be birthed out, Lord, and grow. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm coming at you, darling. Oh, let me run you off.
It is just like the Lord to bring us a word that is truly a bridge for us to walk on. For those of you that were here last Sunday, you heard the vision that the Lord has given this pastoral staff in this house for St. Mary's County. And the open door that has been flung open to us to walk into the school system, invited to walk into every school and to partner. And as faith partners to the school, we have been given the permission to share our faith. I cannot tell you the joy that God has been sustaining in my soul as He has given us this vision to engage the community, to begin to walk our faith outside the church walls. So we are not just hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word. God has brought all of us together from different parts of this country, actually from different parts of the world, to come to this community to begin to sustain a change. He brought all of us for the purpose of giving us a vision. If we only put the right lenses so we can see. For you know what? You and I are not under the blinding cataract of the enemy. The cataracts have been taken out, but we have not replaced them yet with the lenses, with the contact lenses of the heavenly vision. And some of our vision is not 2020. So it has to be readjusted to fit the direction that God has for this house. For this house is a mighty representation of the body of Christ that will begin to walk the streets. By the way, just in 2 weeks, we, the body of Christ, this local body of Christ, is walking in the hallways of Park Hall Elementary School. A demographics that is from a lower socioeconomic level. I don't know where your faith lays, what you became Christian for. But you know what? There is no separation between the secular and the sacred. For all in God's vision is His creation. And He said when when He looked at His creation, it is all good. And it's after my heart. And His heart right now is hurting for those outside of these walls that the enemy had come and chained. They're in the inner cell, in the inner prison today, with shackles on their feet, with shackles on their hands, crying out with emptiness in their hearts. If we can only hear the cries of God's children that are outside of these walls, looking for hope, looking for somebody to grasp the vision that God has for you and for me. It is not an accidental assembly of warm bodies sitting on those pews today. And I appreciate Brother Mike Zello's testimony today and his message, for it fits the vision that we all heard last Sunday and what I'm going to continue to share with you this coming Sunday. I just couldn't believe how the Lord just bridged that gap and put the perfect message for us to hear. So He would prepare our hearts. And I'm asking you, prayerfully stay in His presence this week. For when we come next Sunday, I will actually give you some assessment sheets that I would ask you prayerfully to fill out, to go back into your connection groups and to begin to discuss, how can I help? How can I begin to walk the streets of our community and make a difference? For I'm extremely excited in my spirit. There is a new day. The earthquake, the tornado, the hurricane are only physical representations for what the Lord has been unleashing on this nation. And I want to tell you something that really struck me. Of course, I was a complainer like everybody else. Couldn't believe we're getting the hurricane strength winds going through St. Mary's and Calvert County, right where our constituency lives. Right where my house is. Trees falling into my yard. Trees on the rooftop. And I complained about it until the Lord struck me. Look at where the hurricane strength winds fall. On St. Mary's County. What a representation of what He is about to do in the Spirit, right in the midst of a county where we think we are under the radar, nothing much happening, barely a Walmart and a Target. I'm telling you, God is about to do something phenomenal in this county, and we are on the front line of that earthquake. We're on the front line of the hurricane winds. And I remember our prophet lead and our prophet team had so much to say about the whirlwinds. And there were so many words released a few months ago about the whirlwind. We are about to be taken into a whirlwind that finally will make a difference for this community. And it's called St. Mary's County, and it's in southern Maryland. It has a geographic location, and it has a physical representation of God's goodness that comes from heaven to earth to bring His effective will that is in heaven to walk on the streets of the actual geographic location of planet Earth. So, Brother Mike Zello, this was beyond timely message. We're so grateful for what the Lord has placed on your heart to bring to our congregation. You probably didn't know all of that. You, when you were preparing, all you knew is those people need a vision. And as they grasp the vision, they need to go and be doers of the word. Now, Brother Mike Zello is a doer of God's word. And I want to invite all of us today to participate in his actions by investing into those actions. Now's the time for us where we can make a contribution that truly counts in the lives of those that were dead but now are found alive. So I really would invite you to write a generous donation. We heard the need. We know he needs to raise $5,000 in the very near future. And it's crucial for what they do and for the amazing vision that God has given them. And they are walking into that vision. So may we be partners in that vision. Brothers, would you please come and collect that contribution that we're going to do. Oh, and just make the checks out to the church, and we will just give the contribution to Brother Zello. So whatever the Lord puts on your heart, go ahead and contribute to the amazing transformational work that Brother Mike Zello does. He does transformational development. And I desire that we're going to see that also in this community, a similar work being down here. And I also would like to remind for all of the new faces, by the way, for the new people that had just come this morning, I'm Pastor Svetlana. I apologize, I did not introduce myself. Do not want to assume that all of you have been here or have seen, you know, our flyers, so you know who we are. I'd like to invite those of you that are brand new to us this morning to come to the hospitality room that is right outside of these doors and to your left. We would like to come and shake your hands and get to introduce ourselves to you and get to know you a little bit more. As we conclude the service, the word part of our service, we actually continue into some ministry time around the altar. We have some refreshments outside, and then we go into connection groups. And we would like to invite all of you to join those connection groups, because this is where now you can share with others what you heard God say to you this morning, and also what you can contribute to that conversation. So please come and join our connection groups. May the Lord bless you and have a blessed week full of the vision of Christ. And you're dismissed to go to the refreshment.